And I want to start out tonight. Well, let's read the scripture first. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is a familiar verse. Verse number 18. If you're there, I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? Let's begin. Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think it's safe to say that all of us, to a certain degree, have a desire to be right. We like to be right. We want to be in the right, so to speak. Someone once said this about marriage. They said marriage is a relationship in which one is always right, and the other is the husband. I don't know if that's true or not. But we have a desire to want to be right nonetheless, and all of us like to make right choices when it comes to the things that we do in life. And more importantly, a Christian ought to desire to do what God wants them to do with their lives. And can I just say, as we get started this evening, there is one thing that every time you do it, it will be the right thing to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's always right. It's always God's will for you to give thanks. And I don't think you'll ever find a context in which it would be wrong for you to give thanks to God for the things that are going on in your life. And so I just want to talk to you a little bit about this verse here tonight and focus in on some principles that I think are helpful for us to remember, especially during this season of the year. I want to give you three simple truths about giving thanks. Three simple truths about giving thanks. First one I want to share with you is I want to talk about the consistency of giving thanks. The first part of verse number 18 there, what are the first three words? You read it out loud with me. It says, in everything. In everything. What does it mean to give thanks in everything? We've talked about this a little bit. The word in, it comes from a Greek word that means taking place within some degree, place, or limits. It's encapsulating a certain thing. The phrase everything is a Greek word pas, and it means all things individually and in their totality. And so the Bible says in, taking place within this degree, this limit, everything, all things individually and in their totality. And what the Bible's giving us an understanding of there is God is both talking about giving thanks for individual things that he puts within the boundaries of our life, the boundaries of our sphere of influence, the boundaries of our world, the boundaries of the context of our the riches we've been given in Christ Jesus. And we're also to give not just thanks for the individual things, but thanks for the things that God gives us in their totality. In other words, you can zoom in on certain individual aspects that God blesses you with. The little things, like Miss Abby was talking about. It might not mean a whole bunch to the rest of us, but boy, she zoomed in for a minute and thank God for a couch. And I get that right? Is a couch? It was a couch. Okay. She gave me a weird look. I was like, don't tell me you were giving thanks for something else, and I told my whole story about a couch, and you weren't even thankful for a couch. That has happened to me before. By the way, I need to clarify something. The story I told on Sunday about Casey getting baptized, and that whole circumstance right there, that was not Casey Cable. That was another guy by the name of Casey Blackmer. Casey called me from the military, and or actually called Brother Caleb, and he said, I can't believe Pastor told that story about me. It's like, I didn't tell that story about you. I promise I wasn't making up stories about that. We're going to be in for a long night if I keep on getting off on these rabbit trails. I'm sorry. But in everything, give thanks. Now, the idea that's expressed by this, well, let me put it this way. What God doesn't say is for everything, give thanks. You might be going through something in your life right now, Now you might be wondering, how in the world can I be thankful? Look at what I'm going through. Look at the circumstance that's happening. How in the world do you expect me, God, to be thankful for this? But God didn't tell you to be thankful for everything, but in everything. There's a difference. You be thankful for someone you love passing away? Are you supposed to be thankful for sickness coming into your life? Are you supposed to be thankful for some of these difficult circumstances that we have to face in this sin-cursed world? Well, it's not what God says, but he does say in it. And in the midst of whatever you're going through, you can still bless the Lord. In the midst of Job's circumstance, he didn't thank God for the fact that he took his kids away, that he took his fortune away, that he took his health away. But in the midst of his circumstance, Job said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in everything, you can find an abundant amount of reasons to give thanks. I flew up to Denver. Brother Ken and Miss Heather went along with me to a meeting about the Colorado Capital Connection. By the way, I guess we can praise the Lord for many of the results of this year's election too. And I'm not going to get into the particulars of where you stand on all that stuff, but there was some good that definitely did happen from all of that. But we were up there yesterday, and we're talking about reaching out with the gospel to our legislators in the Capitol there. And while we were there, one of the speakers got up. His name was Chad Connolly. And Chad Connolly started telling a story. I never knew this about him. But I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 15 years or so. But he had a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old boy. And his wife's mother passed away. She really struggled with it. In fact, she struggled with it so much that it came down to the point where she put a gun in her mouth and killed herself in front of the kids and him. And he said he was standing there with the matter of his wife all over him, dumbfounded, calling his wife's parents, saying, "You need to come get the kids." And just a horrible situation. They don't have time to tell the whole story. But in that next year, he's just reeling for answers. He already knew the Lord, but just really struggling with the whole circumstance that he found himself in. And he was a public speaker. He still is a public speaker. At that point in time, he had been high up. Brother Ken could probably tell you this better than me, but high up in the RNC, the Republican National Convention. He got out of that later on. I don't know what he was doing exactly at that point in time, but everything was just put on a pause. And the thing that I remember him talking about is one of his friends challenged him with something that he had always challenged other people with in public speaking. And his friend challenged him with, count your blessings. He'd always challenge people to just, hey, if you don't think you have anything to be thankful for, anything to live for, then start writing down all the things you do have to be thankful for. And he said when he was really down in the dumps, so to speak, his friend gave him that challenge, and he needed a piece of his own medicine, and he sat down and wrote down 103 things that he could be thankful for in that circumstance. It changed his entire perspective. Now, it doesn't tell the full scale of the story, but in the end of the story, he met another woman whose husband had committed suicide, and she was widowed, good Christian woman. She had 2 daughters. He had 2 sons, and God just brought them together. And it was a beautiful thing that happened there. But he had to learn some hard lessons. He didn't learn how to be thankful for that circumstance, but in that circumstance, he was able to be thankful. And that's what God tells us. In everything, be thankful. And there's a little bit of an element of consistency there to Thanksgiving. It's in everything. Yeah, by the way, I'll say this. I really do believe that there comes a point, whether it's now or in eternity, when even the situations in life that we would not have said in that moment, I'm thankful for this, when we see how God works it out for his glory and for our good, I think there comes a point when we can't even be thankful for the scars, thankful for the difficult circumstances that happened in the past. But that's not the command that God gives us. He says, in everything, give thanks. I always think of Joseph when I think of that. Joseph, he didn't have to be thankful for being hated by his brethren, being sold into slavery, being sold into Potiphar's house, being lied about by Potiphar's wife, being put into prison. He went from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. And in the end, God exalted him to the palace. And in the end of all of that, he could look back on it and tell his brothers to their faces, what you meant for evil to me, God meant for good to give it as it is this day to save much people alive. And even then, Joseph was able to look back and be thankful for the circumstances. I was talking to somebody today, and I don't remember, I'm going to be careful, I don't remember all the circumstances of what it was about, but it related to that very same thing. It's the circumstances that happened in this individual's past was now turning right around, and God was using it for his glory in their present. And God has a way of working out those types of circumstances in such a way. I heard the story about two men who were walking through a field one day, and when they spotted an enraged bull, and instantly they darted towards the nearest fence, and they started running away. And the storming bull followed them in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they weren't going to make it away. And so terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, we're in for it." And he answered, "Well, I've never tried to pray publicly before. I don't know what to say." And the man said, "You've got to, this bull's catching up to us." And so the man bowed his head and said, "All right, I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Now that's not the right context, I think, for in everything give thanks. But it's a funny story nonetheless. We got to move on to the next one here. I don't have time to share all that I've got here with you. But the second thing, the first is the consistency of giving thanks. The second thing I want us to see here, if I can get my own notes in order here, is the command of giving thanks. The first thing the Bible says in that verse, in everything. The second thing, it goes on to say, what's the next two words? Give thanks. That is a command. That is something the Lord has instructed us to take knowledge of here in the scripture. What does the Bible mean when it says give thanks? Well, the phrase give thanks is a compound word in the Greek coming from the eu and the charis, which means grace. So it's good grace, the two words together. And together, it's a Greek word meaning the good response by that which does not deserve grace. And such a response expresses itself in thanksgiving and praise. To put it in a simpler phrase, the reason we have to, within the actual command to give thanks is indicated the reason for which we have to give thanks. God just doesn't blanket say, well, you ought to be thankful. The whole idea of giving thanks is a response to the outpouring of God's grace upon your life. Literally, two words, good and grace, are put together to give us the thought of being thankful, of giving thanks. Once again, hey, even when I think that you could go through every command in the Bible. In fact, I won't even say I think. I know you can go through every command in the Bible. And the thing that God asks us to do, he gives us both the incentive and the ability to do it. All within himself and his working inside of us. And we could take a lot of commands and relate that, but it's once again demonstrated here. It's because of the good grace of God that we have reason to give thanks. The Bible says the first and great commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Well, 1 John chapter 4 tells us we love him because what? Every command he's given us in the scripture, he gives us the capacity to be able to fulfill, not of ourselves, but in him and his working through us. And so it is with thanksgiving. And that's why people who go through difficult circumstances, they can, like Job, they can come to the place where you look at them and you wonder, how in the world can you be thankful? How in the world can you have the capacity to be able to express blessing to God when you have had all of this tragedy happen to you? Well, it's because of the working of God's grace within your life. And that was true for Job. That'll be true for us. And it's this working within us that God is doing that can give us peace that passes understanding, that can give us joy unspeakable and full of glory, and that can fill our heart with praise even in the midst of the storm. And that's so important for us to keep in mind. Now, something I do want to emphasize about this, though, is that this is a command. God gives us the capacity to fulfill this command, to obey this command. He doesn't just tell us to do something that we can't do. He says, do it. He gives us the ability to do it. But indeed, it is a command. And can I say this? We've talked a lot about the Great Commission this past month. The Great Commission is a command given to us from the Lord. It's not a something that we can get involved with if we feel like it. This is the great command that the Lord has given us. It's his last command that he's given us before he left this world. He expects it to be fulfilled through his church, through his people. And can I say, even so much as we would look at the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, as a command from God, so is this 1 Thessalonians 5:18, equally a command given to us from God. In other words, friend, this is not a... how would I put it? This is not something that you can decide whether or not you want to do. This is something that God has given us to fulfill. And that's a significant thing for us to understand there. Now, as I thought about this, as I was putting things together, you know, my mind went back to so many stories from my own kids. It seems like with every one of our kids, we've tried to teach them to be respectful. They say yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am. Sometimes people don't appreciate us trying to teach them that type of stuff. I get a little offended when people say, "Don't call me sir." Like, yes, they're going to call you sir. I told them to call you sir. Don't tell them not to call you sir. But anyways, we try to teach them to say please and thank you. And so when they're really young, we start teaching them to say thank you. And especially when they're a little bit younger than Hazel. I remember this was true for Hattie, and this is true for Hazel too, and I'm sure it'll be true for Holly one of these days. Sometimes it's like trying to pull their teeth to get them to say thank you. And mother brings them dinner. And that's the command. I've told them they need to say thank you. We say thank you to mom for making dinner. They don't say thank you when dad makes dinner. There's no reason for Thanksgiving there. That's one of those things when it's not for everything, give thanks. It's in everything, give thanks. But I remember one particular time for Hattie. We were sitting there getting ready to have dinner. And I told Hattie, tell mom thank you. And boy, Hattie's got a pretty strong will. And especially when she was young, it was the cutest face. But man, it was a rebellious face. It was a, I'm not going to do it face, you know. I'm not even going to try to mimic it. I can't even remember exactly what it looked like right now, but she gave me that face. And boy, the fact was, she did not want to consent to the command that I had given. And this leads me to the last thing I want to share with you here. I want to make sure we leave enough time for the other things I want to do here. But the first thing is the consistency of giving thanks. The second thing is the command of giving thanks. And the last thing, the third truth I want to show you here, is the consent of giving thanks. In that moment, Hattie had the reason to be thankful. She had the command, the expectation of the giving thanks, but there had to be a willingness to do so. And I really think that's where, for many of us, it is that one element that keeps us from living a life of gratitude. Because it's not that God's blessings aren't abundant, and it's not that we don't have the reasons to be thankful. It's not that we aren't experiencing God's good grace in our life that for a spirit-filled person, produces that thanksgiving from our hearts. For many of us, it's a matter of being mindful of the things that we have to be thankful of. And boy, it's a matter of the will, of making the choice that you are going to be thankful as the Lord has instructed us to do. And that's what brings us to the last part of our verse. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's where I get back to the point where I say it is always God's will for us to give thanks. The Bible says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, a guy by the name of Archibald Rutledge, he wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. And heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it had happened. He said because he worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him. And that morning, he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. And his faithful friend, his dog, he understood. He was a very obedient dog. Went with him almost everywhere. And so that's exactly what he did. He stayed right where his master told him to stay. And then he went on to say that a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. And guess what? It didn't move. It didn't move. Even though a fire came, his master had told him what to do. And he stayed right there where he was in perfect obedience to his master's words. And with tearful eyes, the man then looked at Archibald and he said, I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it. He said, well, it's kind of a sad story. Yeah, if you're a dog person, I guess, but it is a sad story. But it made me think when I read that story, what kind of confidence does God have in you and I in observing his commands? The good thing about the Lord is, hey, he is never going to put us in that kind of circumstance. He is never going to expose us to the thing described in that story. But, hey, I wonder what the case is with you and I in our own lives when it comes to this matter of being thankful. And, boy, there's so many other things I could say along these lines here. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And can I challenge you, not just through this month, but we often think about it during this month of the year. Can I challenge you to have a mind to recognize the good grace of God that's been poured out on your life? He's the one that gives us the capacity to be thankful and the reason to be thankful. And as we are walking in the Spirit, as we are living the life that Christ has given us to live, the natural consequence of that is going to be being thankful. And so, just to look at the other side of that equation, when we are not being thankful, by the way, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible prescribes that one of the signs of the last times is that men will be lovers of themselves, men will be ungrateful, unthankful. It's a sign of the times that we live in. It's all about give, give, give. I like David Armstrong said this yesterday at the Capital Connection thing we went to. He said, when America started, it was Patrick Henry's cry, give me liberty or give me death. And then the 20th century rolled around and the new mantra was, give me liberty. I want my freedom. And today, it's just, give me. People just want stuff. And we're not a thankful society. But I'll tell you this. You will not be more thankful by your own ability. The whole idea that's taught in this passage of Scripture is that thankfulness is a result of your recognition of the work of God's grace in your own life. And it produces this attitude of thanksgiving. You know, we've talked about this a lot here lately, Philippians 2:13. It's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You say, well, I just want to be more thankful, Pastor. That's a great desire. I'll tell you how it's going to happen. It won't hurt to do some of the practical things people say. Well, write down a list of all the things that you're thankful for. You might be thankful in that moment. But you want to live a life of joy. You want to live a life of thanksgiving. Then let the Lord work freely in your heart. And he produces that attitude of gratitude. And it's true across the board with every spiritual disposition. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God working in our heart, and we need to let God have his way in our hearts and in our lives. And that's what produces this attitude of thanksgiving. And by the way, as you walk with the Lord and you do come through the difficult circumstances, it's easy to give thanks to God in the great circumstances, you know? But when you do come to those difficult circumstances, you'll find a reason to be thankful even in those circumstances as you are walking with the Lord. And so that's the challenge for us from the scriptures here. And I hope that it's an encouragement to you as we enter into this this season and this month here. Now, I want you to take out your prayer bulletin.